Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done.
All right, welcome everyone. You're listening to Prophets Don't Wear Plaid. And my name is Brian David Thompson, and I'm here in studio with C.K. Thompson, and we're coming to you from Las Vegas, sunny Las Vegas. And I just want to thank you guys for listening and remind you to go ahead and subscribe, tell a friend, and share, and all that good stuff. And thanks again. So right at this point, I'm just going to go ahead and throw it over to C.K. because I know she's got a lot she wants to talk about and go into.
Of course. Well, hi, Brian. Yeah, I always got something I want to talk about. I've got a lot to talk about.
Oh, you certainly do.
We're talking about destiny. I have been talking about destiny, I mean, like, I don't know, how many years now, destiny. And it just keeps growing stronger. I want to thank everyone who's listening today and just want you to know that you have a destiny. You need to think about that. God put a destiny within you, and it is still there. He put it in you. I mean, from before you were conceived, actually, from before the foundation of the world, He put a destiny within you, and it's still in you. It's in your DNA, and every person on this planet has destiny within them, and I wonder, like, how many of them really know it or believe it, and I want you to know and believe God has placed destiny within you, and that He believes in you. And that you will fulfill that destiny if you choose to seek it out, to believe it and seek it out. And no matter how old or young you are, it's never too late. It's never too soon to start pursuing God and destiny.
Right.
You know, I've been talking about destiny for a long time.
Of course. Yeah.
I want to share a dream real quickly just to kind of kick this off that I had. This is from my big stack file folder of dreams and visions. I just added another one this morning.
Oh, wow.
Sometimes I remember to write them down these days. It's been getting that folder. I'm going to have to get a new one and just keep going. I can, anyway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just keep it going.
I digress. Nice. This dream, the date on it is October 16, 2007.
Okay.
I had to dig around for it. Someone had a surprise for us in this dream. A man who I later realized was an angel was dressed in a tuxedo, and he ushered us to a porch, Mike and I, and you were in that dream as well, Brian, and your brother was also in the dream, Michael, and my grandchildren were in the dream. I'm not getting into the real personal stuff like that, other than to just mention that you were there. And but in the beginning of the dream, we were ushered unto I don't know where that came from. Okay. We were ushered to this humongous mansion.
Okay.
And we were standing on the porch, and this butler, this angel dressed like a butler, handed us the keys, and it was a surprise. It was like, surprise, this is for you. And it's like, this is yours. And I'm like, I'm thinking in my own head, I'm like, okay, and what's the catch? And there was none. And they said, no, this is a surprise. It's for you. And I'm like, all right. And so I took the keys, and we opened up the door, and we went inside, and it was just this humongous marble. I mean, the floors, there's like marble that just went on forever. It was like I was in my mind wondering, is there actually a building this big on the planet? It was huge.
Wow, that big.
It really was. It was. It's just a massive mansion with marble floors, and the ceilings were like so high. I don't know if I could even, I don't remember actually seeing the ceiling. It's like there was no ceiling.
Okay.
I hadn't even thought about that part.
Huh.
But, just directly inside the door, there was a door to the left that was the water room. And in that room was the interesting, it was right by the front door, a pool room that had different pools and water slides, waterfalls to play in and massage your back, that kind of thing, where they went up so high, I couldn't even see the ceiling of that room, but this water was coming way down, like out of the heavens. And it was like pouring into from one pool to another, and there were like just massive amounts of water just flowing down from pool to pool, from multiple pools to multiple pools in all these different directions and crisscrossing. And it was just gorgeous and beautiful and so life-giving.
Wow.
And you could play there. It was like the most fun thing. That room was like my favorite room of the house, frankly. And you could go up, if you wanted to, you could like, I'm not sure how we got up there. We could go up to the top and we could just like flow down through the waterfalls, just ride the waterfall down to the next pool. Or you could find a little, and it was like they went into like these great big, oh, well, they were pools. I'm trying to think how you would describe them. Almost like a clamshell or something, but they weren't.
Oh.
They were huge bowls, like great big ivory bowls that were pools.
You know, just kind of like water going down from one to the next.
Yes.
Is that what you mean? Just uh-huh. Going down like a waterfall situation.
Yeah, and you could either ride the waterfall or you could sit in one of the pools and let the waterfall just fall on like the back of your neck. I did that for a while and just let it felt really good. It was warm and just perfect temperature. Mm. And it just would massage the back of your neck and your shoulders. It felt really great. Mm-hmm. And then you could just swim under the water and it was so refreshing and it was clean. Everything was very clean. It didn't smell like chlorine like you'd think of as swimming pools and stuff. I didn't even think about that till just now. It was just this refreshing. It was coming down from heaven. And my favorite part, that was my favorite room, at least after they made the initial tour of the mansion. Because even later in the dream, you and I took a couple of my grandchildren, your niece and nephew, to go play. They'd come to visit, and we took them to go play. We're looking for a local water park, and apparently it was like a place where it was not warm enough to have outdoor pools. Mm. So we were looking for an indoor water park, and it was about closing time. We couldn't find one. It seemed like the ones we could find were sort of like in the ground. So I didn't even like a daylight basement, you know, like the window was down near the ground. In order to look in, you had to look down, and I looked inside these indoor water parks. I'm looking at that and thinking, man, we've got better than that at home. Mm. So we ended up taking the kids back to our mansion and playing in the water room. So, you were there helping us play in the water room and helping us get other people into the water room.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I don't know if I ever told you that part.
So, nope, other people like who?
Well, like just the children, people. our grandkids.
Oh, okay.
Your niece and nephew, for instance. And at that time, my other grandkids hadn't been born yet. So, anyway, there's a lot of personal things here, too. But it was the sense of when people came in, they could play in the water room if they wanted to. And you were one of the first ones, like, to help them find it. And let's go in here and play. And I hadn't even thought about that. That's not on this piece of paper. So this was this was 9 years ago that I dreamed this.
Wow, time flies.
Yeah. So there's this huge mansion. So getting back to the entire mansion.
Right.
This butler who had brought me in, who was actually an angel, had given me a buzzer. And told me, he showed me that I could take the tour, I could go anywhere I wanted. There were cooks, cooks cleaning, and the cooks weren't cleaning. They were cleaning angels, apparently.
Okay.
And cooking angels, and I'm like, oh, Lord, bring it now. Oh, there were cooks and other servants. Every desire of the heart would be met in that mansion. it was just absolute splendor. And then I realized that the cooks and the cleaners and all those servants were angels. And so I looked out and clear at the other end of the room, like way out there, you had to walk quite a ways across the marble, was this massive staircase that went up. Everything went up.
Okay.
Up and around both sides, the railing went out and around both directions, right and the left, and around the sides of the inside of this mansion. And all of the, there was a balcony there on the, all and that lined the outside, or lined the inside of the mansion. And it was full of doors up there. You had to walk up the steps, and then everything was just full of doors. Doors.
Oh, yeah.
Doors. And all these doors were available for us to go check out.
Hmm.
It was, apparently we were to live there.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
And
so what's behind these doors then?
Well, behind door number one.
Yeah.
Okay, actually I only went into one door in the dream.
Oh.
So that would be door number one, but actually it wasn't the first one. It was down a ways on the left.
Oh, what was there?
I went in and there was furniture in the room, and I don't know if it was a bedroom or what, but I know that there was a massive TV screen that came up out of the floor and filled up an entire wall.
Hmm.
And when that TV screen came up, now I got to look at my notes because I got to see how I said that.
Okay.
The TV screen rose up out of the floor and filled the wall, and it was just huge. And immediately I started pushing that button. The buzzer that the angel had given me was, it's kind of like the buzzers, like if you go to Olive Garden or one of those places to eat and they're busy. So they give you the little ring that lights up when it's time for your table. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do, yeah. Uh-huh.
And it lights up
right
on your end.
Like either make noise or they buzz and stuff. And then that way, you know, you can go do something and it calls you back.
Go get your table.
You know your table's ready.
Right.
Of course.
Well, it was like that, except it was the other way around, that when I pushed the button, it did it on the other end, and the angel, it summoned the angel to come and answer. And they said, if you have any questions, push this button. So I pushed that button, man. I started pushing like crazy when I saw that TV screen come up out of the floor.
Mm.
And pretty soon an angel showed up, and I'm like, okay, how do I make this work? And the angel said to me, this TV is not for watching. It's for seeing.
Really?
Yeah. And that's just stuck in my head. You know what? I didn't even write that down. I don't think it's even on here. It's stuck in my head, like etched into me. And I knew the TV was not for watching. It was for seeing. And I've been pushing this button ever since. Get angelic help to understand what's going on in all of these things that are happening in my fun little world. So I just wanted to share that because I felt that, you know, as time goes on, and every time I see this dream, it just takes me back to, wow. The thing that surprised me the most about this was not only, well, a couple things. One, that it was for us. That it was for me. It was us.
Yeah.
I didn't ask for this. But also the fact that he didn't put any conditions on it. He didn't say, you know, like someday when you're good enough or when you prove that you can handle it or, you know, anything like that.
Uh-huh. Really?
It was a gift. It was destiny, basically. Destiny that was being sown into me. It was like him showing me what my destiny was. It was like an example of my destiny. In dreams and visions, houses, buildings, etc., usually represent ministries. A person's ministry, their realm of authority, etc. And
sure. At least,
especially in my case, houses, depending on, sometimes it'll be specific house, and I know that it has to do with our ministry at that time, or during the time we were.
Time period.
Yeah.
Specific time period.
Right.
Yeah. So this is something like a a future time period, I guess?
Yes.
Or what?
Well, yeah, and I think that we've already begun to live there.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, I think it has to do with spiritual destiny, a place to live, like living in the supernatural realm, living in a place of glory and destiny that is just beyond the imagination, really, and that the sky is the limit, and that the Lord really does intend for us to live there. He wants us to be refreshed. He wants us to enjoy. He wants us to have like this massive place of joy. And I was even thinking of, we were just talking right before the podcast about Joseph when with the coat of many colors.
Right.
And the Lord gave him dreams about his own future and his own destiny. He didn't ask for those dreams.
No. Mm-hmm.
And I've heard people preach the most ridiculous stuff about, you know, I think he was just as surprised as anyone. Obviously, he was surprised that God gave him those dreams in the first place. He didn't know why he was dreaming those dreams. And I've heard people teach, it's been a very common doctrine of saying that, you know, the reason that his brothers tried to, you know, first they were going to kill him, and then one of the brothers talked him out of that and said, let's just throw him into this pit, and they left him there, and then they sold him into slavery. I mean,
right,
just
right.
You know, all that he went through just before he ever got to Egypt and all that, and saved their lives, saved their bacon when the time came. Well, that must have been kosher bacon. But anyway, he saved their butts when the time came. Talk about walking in love. People have said that all of that, none of that would have happened to him if he hadn't been proud or arrogant, or how dare he hate, like, throw this in his brother's face. I dreamed that you guys all bowed down to me. And if you read the word, that is so not what he was doing.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. That's, I mean, that seems to me coming from, it comes from a false humility standpoint.
Exactly.
I mean, a person that would say that, that's what I would guess, is that
exactly
their thing is about a lot of humility.
Right.
And they didn't think that he had it.
Right. They thought he wasn't being humble, or that he shouldn't have shared it with them. And when, you know, he didn't know. He was just as surprised. He was probably processing a little bit, thinking it through. He probably didn't actually see the obvious, which they saw. You're like, well, hey, how many of us are there of us, and how many of you, and just that kind of thing.
Right.
I really don't believe that he had the motives that so many people have tried to ascribe to Joseph. I don't believe that he was being arrogant and like in your face kind of about it. And I don't believe he deserved any of the stuff that was done to him. Because you know, that turns into a blame the victim teaching then. Like, okay, you have a dream from God, it startles you don't know what it is, you didn't expect it, you try to tell somebody about it, and someone decides that you're being proud and you deserve to be
I mean,
victimized for this.
Who would deserve to be thrown into a pit and sold into slavery? I mean,
exactly,
is that really a thing?
Right.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Mm-mm.
Because God gave you a dream and you talked about it.
Mm-mm.
Talk about religious silencing.
Right.
You know, I just think there's nothing in Scripture to substantiate that with him having an attitude when he shared those things with his brothers. I think he honestly was just like, wow, wonder what is this about?
Mm-hmm.
And he was naive. That's what I believe. And probably because I'm relating to him the way that I would do it myself, because I've had so many dreams and visions and stuff, and it just, I'm probably the most surprised person of all that these things happen to me, and I share them with people, and we've been severely persecuted because of some of the stuff that I've shared with people.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I'm like, whoa, really? And I wasn't trying to throw something in someone's face. I was just so excited. And I thought it must be happening to other people too. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, wrong.
And you don't realize that, hey, wait a minute. Somebody's, this isn't happening to. And also the whole, not only jealousy, but the issue of, it's always been that way, that in the Old Testament, the prophets were under, they caught a lot of persecution. Uh-huh. If you were a prophet, you know, you might as well just brace yourself. That's why the prophet's reward in the Bible. Jesus doesn't really, he doesn't mention the pastor's reward or the evangelist's reward.
Right.
And I'm not saying that there isn't one. I'm just saying something about mm-hmm. the prophet. They caught more persecution uh-huh. than any other ministry.
Yeah, definitely.
And they still do. And the fact that it was his own brothers that tried to destroy him and shut down the prophetic voice, that's still happening. That still happens today in the church world. It's our own brethren. It's our own sistern. Okay, that's sisters. It's our own beloved in the Lord that would try to shut down the prophetic voice. If they don't like it, they're not comfortable with it, or they don't believe in it, or they don't believe that God would do that for you. Because in their mind, maybe I'm not, I don't measure up or whatever. And they're probably right. I probably don't. I measure up to whatever. But apparently it's in God's mind, which that also blows me away. See, I'm still here, so I shouldn't keep saying it blows me away because I'm still sitting here.
No, not literally.
Yes,
figuratively.
Like it just literally just blew me away. No, yeah, that I would be clear does. Over there. Mm-hmm. No, it didn't literally. Just kind of in my heart blew me away that God would speak to me, or that He would show me those things and visit me and offer these things or show me my future in advance. And one of the things he said in here, the very last thing, because then Mike came into the bedroom and woke me up, and I've got this written down. This is what I call dream vision. People have heard me talk about that probably. I'm dreaming, and then as I'm waking up, the Lord speaks. It just keeps going.
Just make a transition.
Yeah.
Dream to vision, just keep going.
Right.
You know, you've switched to a conscious state.
Yes. Going from visions of the night to, yeah, vision of the day. Mm-hmm. After Mike woke me up, the Lord spoke to me, just it was loud, booming voice. He said, "I'm going to make you examples of my glory." And I just held on to that. I have held on to that ever since then. Lord, you said you were going to make us examples of your glory. Because up until then, I'd always told people, God called me to be an example of hope. Like, if He'll bless me, He'll bless anybody.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So, have hope. Uh-huh. Nobody is too unblessable, because He'll bless me, so He'll certainly bless you. But He said, I'm going to make you examples of my glory. So this is like a glory mansion. And the fact is that He did not put a condition on it, which I'm accustomed to hearing those kind of things, you know, from just in the, just being around, hearing sermons and all that kind of stuff. It's usually like, if you will do this, then God will do that.
Oh, I see what you mean.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He didn't say, if you will do this, I will make you examples of my glory.
Yeah.
He just...
So no parameters or rules or anything like that. Just said He just wanted to bless you just because.
Yeah. I'm going to make you examples of my glory. He says, I'm going to do it. Kind of like He said to Abraham, as for me, this is what I'm going to do for you. It was a covenant thing. And people need to have that kind of connection with God to actually just like, okay, I mean, He really loves me that much? That He offers me this knowing the kind of dork that I am? I mean, that's how I feel.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that I probably will blow it along the way. Mm-hmm. Shoot, every day probably? I probably will do something stupid. You can pretty much count on it. And yet, He says, I'm going to make you examples of my glory.
Oh, wow.
What a kind God.
Right.
I wish that, and you know, when I think of that, I think, Lord, would you help other people realize that? help them to realize that, you know, when you make me an example of your glory, that's for them too. That's how he feels about his children. He's looking for people just simple enough to believe him that it's based on his goodness and not their own.
There you go.
Because he knows if it was based on my goodness, he would never be able to make me an example of his glory. I don't know. I'm still working on just believing that you know, and knowing and believing the love God has for me. Mm-hmm. And the word says so therefore it's true, whether I feel it or not.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But so in line with that, I wanted to, it's about destiny. All of it is about destiny. And I know there's so many people I know that we're called a lot to. A lot of our demographic is boomers, the boomers. Mm-hmm. The boomers, and now it's coming down to the busters, which is the next generation after that. And then it's going to keep going. That the anointings that the Lord has spoken to me about in dreams.
Right.
And just visions of the night. I don't know why I call them dreams, because they're just visions of the night, because I'm not like you're... Some of them, I don't see anything. I just hear him talk.
Hmm.
And then I wake up and write it down.
Oh, wow.
And like the one about the supernatural youth, the series, what I call the series of dreams about supernatural finances.
Sure.
And series of dreams about supernatural youth.
Correct.
I didn't see anything. All I did was hear.
Oh.
He's
really?
He told me. He told me all this stuff, and I wrote it down. It's just counsel in the night seasons, as David said in the books of, in the book of Psalms. Hmm. The anointings. I just stuttered, didn't I?
I'm not sure about
just
that.
Just for the sake of my listening audience, I want you to know, the Lord has called me to just let her rip, and I'm not I don't really consider myself a public speaker so much, as you can probably tell. But so what we do, we have a joke around here that sometimes I do what we call porky pigging, which you just heard us stuttering. And the other is James Kirking. James Kirking.
Uh-huh.
That's when I do this.
I see.
Stop and think about it while I'm talking.
I see.
So that was a pretty good example of James Kirking.
Yep, as you're doing an impression.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot of that. Sometimes we have to edit it out just so that we don't drive people crazy with my James Kirking. So... So, it's your destiny is like the most important thing. In a supernatural youth, when he spoke to me about in the dreams about supernatural youth, and he still talks to me about that, is the redeeming of your time and renewing our youth as the eagle. And it doesn't matter how old you are, how much you think you've blown it, how much society has tried to get you to retire, or we live in a world that, well, in the West anyway, here in the United States, there's not a lot of respect for older people like there is in some countries, the cultures there.
Eastern cultures, yeah.
They don't really respect the wisdom as much. They value young people more. If you're younger, the younger
Pretty
and
much.
More beautiful, as long as you're legal.
Mm-hmm.
It's, Hopefully, it's really warped because it's really done a number on people who think that they've missed their day. Like, they feel like they're already a has-been. Like, I had my shot, and I missed it, and I blew it. Whatever it was, I made a mistake, or I didn't understand what was going on, so I let my day pass me by, or missed my hour of visitation, whatever it is.
Yeah.
They think it's too late. And they don't understand that's not how God looks at it.
Right.
He's looking at it through the eyes of eternity. And eternity... He doesn't care. He'll redeem your time. He told me that people will hold him to his word about it. It's a covenant thing to him. He will keep you alive as long as possible to keep his good word to you, as long as you're putting a draw on that and saying, Lord, this is what I want. I'm not willing to go until you keep your word to me. It's like, I won't let you go till you bless me. Do what you said. Do what you said. And he loves that. So,
Right. You're never too old. You probably got to hear what he said, too. That would help.
That's true. That's true. A lot of people haven't heard in the first place, have they?
Yeah, in a lot of cases, yeah.
They don't know they have a destiny.
That's a good place to start. Yeah, is have to know.
Yeah.
And then hear from him.
That's true. I'm here to tell you, so if you have never heard this before, you have a destiny in God that only you can fulfill. And it matters to God. Jesus told me in one of those visions of the night, he actually showed up, and I did see. In that dream, I did see. I saw him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he walked with me, and we talked for a while, and he shared his heart with me about the ministry, the fivefold ministry, because we are the gifts he gave to the body of Christ. He gave gifts unto men. He ascended on high and gave gifts unto men. And the gifts he gave were the fivefold ministry, the prophet, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher.
Yes.
For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry until we all come to the fullness of the body of Christ. And I know they didn't quote that perfectly, but his gifts that he has been given to the body of Christ, his heart has been really hurt. Jesus has. He was telling me that. He wept about the way people treated his pastors, about the way people disrespected the gifts that he had given them. They love the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Sure.
Charismatic gifts, you know, and healings and all of those things, you know, tongues and interpretation, and let's bring on all of this supernatural stuff. But then they turn their back on or mistreat the gifts that Jesus gave. The Holy Spirit gave charismatic gifts. In fact, the Heavenly Father gave administrative gifts, ministry gifts that are in Romans 12, I believe. Anyway, I'll have to look that up. But the Trinity is involved in giving gifts unto men. The Father gave gifts to everyone as part of our destiny. Their gift mix is part of what the Father has given them. The Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, gave the charismatic gifts. Jesus himself, in Ephesians 4, gave the fivefold ministry gifts. These were all given to bless, and they were given out of the heart, out of their heart, based on their role in bringing us all into our destiny. I'm trying to find a good way to pull it together. So when Jesus was talking to me in that dream, how people had mistreated the people that he had given them, the gifts that he had given them to equip them for the work of the ministry. And it broke his heart how people don't respect one another. He called us to operate within a culture of honor. And a lot of the reason that people have mistreated ministers is because ministers have mistreated the people. There's been a lot of religious abuse. There's been a lot of abuse both ways. People do that to each other.
That's the thing. Yeah.
That's why he said that we have to walk in love, or we simply, that's the key to everything. Supernatural youth, and then the supernatural finances that he's releasing into the earth, time and money. If we don't walk in love, we are delaying our own destiny.
That's good right there.
Yeah. Walking in love. And he even defined it as not that syrupy, sappy, saccharine sweet, fault finder, critical, manipulative, fleshly, phony love that's put out there in the name of Christianity, Christian love. And all it is this way that they try to keep people under control. Oh, you got to walk in love, which means you can't be real. You can't have a feeling. You can't express an emotion. You know?
Oh, yeah.
And that's not how God is. He walks in love. Jesus was walking in love when he took a whip into the temple and started driving out the money changers and throwing their tables over. He was one ticked off dude.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the other, and that's being real, you know, and
yes,
and walking in love. But the other thing you were explaining, or the other examples, that's, well, not being real, frankly, you know.
Yes.
That's being fake.
It's fake.
Yeah,
it's fake
and then just
love.
Kinda, and then acting that way in certain places, like at church especially, but then going home and then acting differently, completely,
right.
You know.
They're not being real. Yes. And people say, like, well, the church is full of hypocrites. Why should I want to go there? And I'd say, well, there's room for one more.
There you go.
Because I don't know of anybody who doesn't. they hide who they really are a lot. Mm-hmm. Or at least put their filters on when they're out in public.
Right.
So that they don't expose their own hearts. And a lot of it's just based on fear of lack of being accepted. A lot of it's people just putting on a mask so no one will know that they're hurting or that they've mm-hmm. got issues they need to have dealt with. Everybody's got stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Is none righteous? No, not one. And I'm saying that's what it says in the Word. But that was in the Old Testament. After that, there was someone righteous, and that was Jesus himself. And because of his righteousness, now we got to exchange our sin for his righteousness. He took our sin. So now we can say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am righteous in his righteousness. Praise God. It's his righteousness. No matter what I do, no matter how wonderful I look, it's his righteousness. It's not me.
Yeah,
it's,
right.
I'm still me under here.
Mm-hmm.
Christian, the key of love is not phony. It's actually reality.
Mm-hmm.
It's telling the truth. It's just talking. It's being real. It's being where you're not afraid. And there's no fear in love.
Yeah, that's key right there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And being able to just say, you know, and be normal. How about?
Mm-hmm.
The Normal Christian Life. Actually, that was the name of a book by Watchman Nee. And harks me back. I don't even know if I ever made my way through that whole book.
Mm.
With just a smidge, just a touch of adult ADD here. I don't know if I've made my way through an entire book ever. But
oh, really?
Yeah. Mm. But I know that the Lord, actually, there's two books I can think of that I have actually read from cover to cover in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Oh, Shiny Object. That's, I've had some head injuries along the way, too. That's part of the reason that it may not be ADD. It might be head injuries. Oh. They don't know whoever the doctor is being. They. I've got my air quotes going on.
Mm.
So I just go with it, make a joke out of it.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
Shiny Object. Keep me on track here.
mm-hmm.
Two books, The Final Quest by Rick Joyner,
uh-huh.
And I'll Never Be Broke Another Day in My Life by Leroy Thompson, Dr. Leroy Thompson.
Those are the only two that you've read cover to cover?
In the last 10 years.
In the last 10 years, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, yeah. I've read those books too. Those are good books.
They are.
I understand.
I read a lot of books. I mm-hmm. start in the back and I read forward.
Okay.
And then I turn around and take a drink and come back and look, and it's somewhere else in the book, so I read there.
Well, that's one way to do it.
Yeah. So that's one of the many things that why I say, you know, if God will bless me, he will bless anyone. Your destiny is not determined by your education, your educational status, your age, any of those things. Actually, no. The thing that determines whether you get to walk in your destiny is, number one, walking in love and finding out what that really is, which you can find in the Word. Anything you want to know, if you want to know what it really is, don't go off out in the woods and pray unless you take your Bible with you, because everything's in the Bible.
Right.
It's in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And people try to sound all super spiritual, like, I'm going to go and get away and get with God and find out what He wants me to do. Uh-huh. You know what? Whenever I hear that, I go, oh, sheesh. Somebody's running from something.
Right.
They already know. Uh-huh. They already know. The only time I've ever seen anybody.
Like what the answer is.
Exactly.
Trying to avoid it or something. But
yes. Whenever I hear someone say, you know, I can't come to church for a while because I just need to go get alone with God. I want to say, oh, that's just such BS. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to know what God has to say, why don't you say, I'm going to go get into the Word.
Yeah.
I mean, I know people take, you know, they go on a fast or they'll take time away, you know. We go on retreats now and then, prayer retreats. I retreat to the bedroom to pray often. But when they start using it that way, like to avoid things they don't want to deal with.
Yeah, yeah, it's a thing.
So you already know the answer to that. You just don't want to have to face it. Lord, right. Like, let's go argue with God about the outcome here. Can we do it this way?
Mm-hmm.
Can we do it my way instead?
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. Sorry, but no. If God really is a lot smarter than we are.
Maybe. No, of course He is.
Oh. He's making a joke, folks. Please don't. Hey, but if you want to write and protest about anything, please write to prophetsdwp@gmail.com.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
It'll be in the tag at the end of the program, you guys. Man. So if you missed that, just go ahead and listen in. But yes, absolutely.
Yes. So. I love to hear from you. I don't always answer, but I love to hear from you. If it's interesting enough, it'll make it onto a podcast. The destiny that God put within your DNA is still there. And He has prepared for you. You know, it says, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. I mean, He's already prepared destiny for you. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven to live in your mansion. You don't have to wait for to get your life together, to get your act together, to go out and fast and pray for 40 days and all these things in order to be good enough. Jesus already was good enough. The only reason we do any of those things is to quieten ourselves or put down the flesh enough to hear God, to hear what's already been deposited in our hearts. It's already there. It's not like He's going to tell you something brand new from out here somewhere. It's already in our hearts. You know,
wow.
God placed it in our heart that we were going to live in Las Vegas way, way back, and I had no idea that it was already in my heart. And Mike and I marvel when we talk, we look about at how the Lord brought us here, because, and then when you look back, we're like, well, of course. I knew that. I remember talking about wanting to come down and hold glory encounter meetings in casinos down here and things like that, you know, like, or set up a thing saying, you know, prophetic meeting, you know, come and come and hear, get a word from the Lord or things like that at a casino and minister to, I mean, we're from the school of thought that, you know, we don't run from the devil. Let's go like to the psychic fair and set up a booth next to the psychic and tell people what the Lord is saying to them.
Absolutely.
Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Those are just counterfeits of the real deal.
Mm-hmm.
Let them encounter the real glory of God, the real presence of God, and it changes their life, turn their world on right back, right side up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a destiny, especially at our age, and a lot of our friends, you know, we're young or on the younger end of the spectrum of baby boomers, Mike and I. Mm,
okay, yeah.
We were accustomed to always being the youngest ones in the room.
Oh.
Among our peers.
Yeah.
Mike was pastoring full time. He was traveling at age 22, 23. He was 23, I believe. And he was actually pastoring a church at the age of 24.
Wow.
It was like when he turned 30 was when he suddenly felt like he was old enough to be to be a pastor. Mm-hmm. He had already been pastoring for like 7 years. Mm-hmm. And isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it is. It's something.
Yeah. We did a lot of things. We started young. I mean, we were that way. We were running point all the time.
Still are.
Yeah. When we got married, somehow, I guess my mother might have signed so we could live in an apartment building because we were too young to live there. You had to be 21 to live there.
Oh.
And within a year, we were managers of that apartment building and we were still too young to live there.
Wow, that's something.
Talk about favor of God. And you, Brian, you were born when we lived there. Mm.
All right.
In a building that we were too young to live in, and children were not allowed.
So you had all of that.
Yep. We were managers and had a baby. So, you and Michael, your brother, I'm saying that for the sake of our listeners who may not know that I have two sons, Brian and Michael.
Yes.
And you were both born in the mid-70s. Right in the middle of revival on planet Earth. And it's getting ready. I mean, it's touching down again. It's coming back. This is the day that we were created for. This is what the Lord told us. He told us in the early 80s, actually, that he was holding us in reserve for the next move of God. And I didn't know it was going to be this far off. I'm like, shoot. Well, okay. Thinking that was just a few years. We were always such a round...
little did you know.
Round peg. No, square peg in a round hole. We were like Joseph.
The opposite, either way. Yeah.
Yeah, just didn't fit. Mm-hmm. Wherever we were at, we didn't quite fit. We wanted to, but I didn't want to go sit and talk about recipes, you know? I wanted to go talk about what God was saying.
Right.
The latest dream, whatever. And then it kind of was a rude awakening to find out that other people weren't, at that time, the people we were around weren't really having those kind of experiences. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I'm kind of different.
Mm-hmm.
So, destiny is worth waiting for. You're never too old. It's never too late. Can you imagine Joseph with the coat of many colors, which was taken away by that time, being in prison, and it says that his soul went into the bars.
Mm-hmm.
He was probably like, Lord, why have you abandoned me out here? Like, here I am, false accusation and landed in prison. And all that he suffered at the hands of people that he trusted or that was supposed to have loved him. And can you imagine not knowing yet your future other than God gave him some dreams when he was a boy? And wondering like, okay, was I crazy? Was that just a cruel trick? And can you imagine being in a place like that and saying, wait a minute, other people my age are, what? Wife, kids, children, grandchildren.
They
own their own home. They're burning their mortgage. They, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
All those things. Like, and here I am. Like, this is not how I expected things to turn out. We've had several of those kind of moments in our life, Mike and I.
Mm.
And so have you. And so is your brother. A lot of it's just the prophetic nature of the ministry, the anointing on this family, that we find ourselves catching the treatment from the brothers that want to shut down the prophetic voice.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Uh-huh.
And they don't get it. They don't believe in us. They don't believe in what are we supposed to do, because we know that we know that we know what we know that we know.
I know. All you can do is move forward.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's painful, but you just move on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, Lord, would you please, like, would you let at least one of these dreams come to pass while some of these people are still alive? Because just so that they can see that we weren't crazy.
Yeah.
But even then, I suppose they'll see from heaven. I really wanted my mom to see some things. She's good. She's cheering me on now.
Yeah.
So it broke my heart, though, that she went home, because I wanted her to stay here and I had it all figured out. She was going to be right there when we dedicated our new building. Mm-hmm. And she went home. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. People, stop going home. Stop it this minute. Okay. Anyway.
Right.
Lay hold of your destiny. And what that does is it wakes you up on the inside. And it will cause you to become younger, stronger. It will cause you to lay hold of something worth living for. It will make your flesh reverse the aging process. I can attest to that. I went through a spiritual cleanse. I really did. When the Lord showed me some of these things early on.
Oh, yeah.
Right, 2003, right in there.
What's a spiritual cleanse? What are you talking about?
Well, he started talking to me about supernatural youth, and that it was because I was like, Lord, I'm not done. Uh-huh. I'm not ready to be old, and I was having a lot of physical issues and things, and I don't want to be taken out of the game yet. And he started visiting me and talking to me. It took away that panic about getting old before I accomplished the things that were in my heart, because I ran into myself. I literally, in these dreams and visions, I turned around and chose supernatural youth. And when I did, I ran slap into myself. I went, bam. It was like this little miniature explosion in the spirit. Hmm. And man, it was like, it manifested through my body. I went through this like a couple of years, like my face was broken out really bad. Really, honestly, like someone going through some kind of toxicity cleanse thing where just all this stuff was working its way out of me. All these things that I'm like, whoa, like what really? Next? I had suddenly this rash on my face. It was bright red. It looked like a raccoon. I mean, we're talking red as the Christmas tree ornament behind you, which we haven't taken down yet. And just weird things where I would just be laid out for days. Like, what just happened? It was just like a spiritual explosion. And the flesh had to give way to that spirit of youth, supernatural youth, the spirit of destiny that came plowing through when I laid hold of it and said, Lord, I'm not going to let go of you till you bless me. I'm not going to let go. And when he realized I was serious, it was just like, boom, all right. And it made this flesh have to like give up a bunch of stuff it was hanging on to that I didn't even know about, that was making me sick. It's like, you know,
don't say.
Yeah. Yeah. People go through those toxicity cleanse things. I don't even know what the...
Well, yeah, a cleanse. Yeah. Cleanses of different kinds. Yeah, exactly.
It did manifest in the natural.
Wow, that's very interesting.
Yeah, and...
So you're saying that happened when you took hold of the message of supernatural youth?
Yes, it did. That's what I'm saying. And I was absolutely serious, and he told me to choose how long I wanted to live. And I said, 120? And he said, is that all? And I said, oh, well, 150? And he said, that's better. And I'm thinking, Abraham was a covenant man, and he lived to be 174 or something like that. So I'm like, how about I try? Yeah, let's aim for that. Aim high.
Yeah.
I'd rather get, 80-90% of that than 100% of nothing. So
that's a true story. Yeah.
So you got a mansion. You have destiny within you. Mm-hmm. Every person under the sound of my voice has destiny within them that the Lord longs for you to walk it out in your lifetime, in the flesh, here on this planet. He longs to fulfill the dreams, the desires, and everything he has put in there. And he will do it, but like anything else, everything here is the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent ones take it by force.
Yep.
So the warfare, in order to lay hold of what's already been given to us, it is a warfare. But you have to decide you want it bad enough. You have to know that it's God's will for you. Don't believe society's mandate about your age or your health or your value based on any of those things, but rather lay hold of, man, did you feel that anointing? When I started saying that, and all of a sudden, I'm not James Kirking here. I'm just...
It just dropped then.
It did. Don't...
Oh, yeah.
Don't let people determine your value. Let the Word of God do that. Let your destiny and that which He has laid up for you, let that determine your value. And lay hold of it, and just don't take no for an answer. Sometimes faith just looks like bulldog determination. That's all. Faith is an act. Sometimes I just got to act like the word is true, no matter how I feel or look or anything else. I just got to, you know what, Lord, I'm acting like the word is true. And the same goes with finances. We act like it's true because it is. Mm-hmm. It's more true than any circumstance around you that tries to tell you otherwise. This natural realm was actually created by the eternal spiritual realm, heaven, God. It's modeled after heaven. And this world is subject to change by that same, by the thing that created it, heaven.
Mm-hmm.
It's flowing through us. That's how the kingdom of heaven invades earth, through human beings that just simply say, okay, yes. What is this dream I had? I had this wild dream. Wow. That's what Joseph was doing. He was not, you know, throwing something in someone's face. He was saying, wow, I had this awesome dream. What does this mean?
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, even when his soul went into the bars, God brought him out. God kept his word. He probably, when he least expected it, is when it happens. Destiny. Destiny has been laid before us. Right now in 2016, destiny has been laid before us. It's already been laid before us. And people are starting to see the angel of acceleration has come to accelerate and speed up the day of your destiny.
Yes.
And here's what I see happening right now. Is that at the exact same time that your destiny is springing forth, the enemy is afraid of it. And he's trying to lay out before you an alternate destiny. And so you have a choice to make, because right now a lot of people are facing circumstances and situations that are very sad, bad. They don't look good in the natural. It's a bummer. Major bummer. Financially, health-wise, circumstances of life, whatever.
Sure.
Things suddenly took a twist. They took a turn, and they've been struggling with depression and darkness and stuff like that. And they're like, what just happened? And the Lord says, I've laid out before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life.
Mm-hmm.
You choose life so that you and your seed, your family, may live. So you have a destiny to pass on to your children. A legacy of destiny. Choose life. And so
it's good.
The enemy has tried to put an alternate destiny into your natural circumstances. Don't be under the circumstances. Don't choose that. Choose the destiny that God has shown you, that is believing in those things which are not seen. Because that is more real than the thing you can see. Don't be swayed by your emotions, your feelings. Only be swayed only by what you believe, by what God has said to you. That's the only thing you can count on. The only thing that will stand is what the word of the Lord. And destiny is God's will for you, His destiny, not this alternate destiny. Don't let this other one take over. I know what's going on with everybody right now. At first, I thought it was just me.
Good word. Right. That's a thing.
And it's everybody has choices to make. Choose life. Man, choose life so that you and your seed may live. It's destiny time, man, and the devil cannot stop it. Can't stop it. So go and be blessed. I wanted to say a Star Trek thing. I wanted to say, so, actually, the Lord said that to Mike. in one of the dreams that Mike had. He's a dreamer too. He dreamed, or was it a vision? He had a lot of just straight up visions. The Lord told him to make it so. He asked him 10 years ago, he said, what would Donald Trump do?
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, well, what's that got to do with anything?
Yeah.
We didn't know anything about Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. We didn't even watch any of his shows of The Apprentice or any of that.
Right.
Right out of the blue, the Lord says, what would Donald Trump do?
Mm-hmm.
And Mike was,
well, what would he do?
And what would Donald Trump do? And so, and then at the end of the vision that the Lord gave Mike, the Lord told him, now make it so.
Hmm.
Which is reminds me of Jean-Luc Picard.
Right.
Captain of the Enterprise.
Yeah, that's right. That's what he would say. Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
Yes, make it so. And then you go, and engage. Set a course for engage.
Right.
And it wasn't until we even got to Las Vegas that we found out, you know, Donald Trump had built a building down here.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Right there. So, set a course for your destiny and engage and have a great day.
All right. Yeah, that does it. We'll wrap on that. Thanks. That's a good one. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next time.
And thank you for listening to the show. You can reach C.K. Thompson or Brian David at prophetsdwp@gmail.com. Or check out their website, www.wordoflifeworldoutreach.org. Thank you very much for listening to the show, and we'll see you next time.
The show you've just heard is part of the Streams of Many Waters podcast network.